Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go.
Levels are set. Proper modulation. Let's go.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, just sliding over from the day job. Just you know.
So do you work Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. No, not Thanksgiving Day.
No?
No.
You're off tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
That's nice.
Catching a plane to Atlanta, 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
And then when do you come back?
Saturday morning, because there's an X to be grinded? Ground?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm a little more high on the Badgers football team, at least, than the basketball team. But I struggle to watch either at this point. But I am excited for that, for the Minnesota game. I am excited for that. So are you covering the game?
No. Here's the thing. The Badgers and Packers have got to do a little collaboration. They've got to do a little side-by-side here, because we've got our crew is in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday.
That's right.
Yeah.
Packers-Giants.
Right. So you can't. You know, this Minneapolis thing ain't working.
All right.
You can't do this on the day before a Packers road game in New York in December. You know, when we make the plans for this back in April, it's like, well, we're going to miss that game. Too bad. And now we feel bad about it. But, if the Badgers do their job, we can atone for that.
Right.
The following week.
Yeah, you got to be there for Packers, Giants. I mean, that's the big one this week. And I was talking a little bit on the pregame show, and you guys give us a call, 414-799-1250 throughout the morning. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Are you a little nervous for this game? Because, like, if you would have told me that I was nervous for the New York Giants 4 weeks ago, I would have called you crazy. But I keep having these flashbacks and these bad memories of a rookie quarterback named Josh Rosen coming into Lambeau Field last year, upsetting the Packers in the final game in the Mike McCarthy era for the Green Bay Packers before he gets fired. And I'm like, I could see Daniel Jones throwing for 300 yards on crossing routes to tight ends. Are you nervous, or am I just overreacting still to these last two of three games? Because the Chargers game was awful. You know, then you do bounce back against Carolina at home. But what I watched on Sunday was probably the worst Packers football game I've seen in 4 years against the 49ers.
Yeah, and that worst half of football, that first half.
You have 40-something yards.
It's terrible. And unfortunately, there was no part of that that led you to say, well, whatever, this is something, that little bump that they'll get over. You
right.
know, they just, it went, started out of the gate and just face planted, and that was the end of it. And that was on both sides of the ball. They couldn't move it, and for a lot of that first half, they couldn't stop the Niners either. And you mentioned the tight end thing. That, to me, is the biggest concern, because it's not the only time that's happened to the Packers.
Right.
You remember the Raiders, and they came in here, and their tight end racked up the yards.
Yeah, two touchdowns, yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's really bad. And you saw those plays where George Kittle would be open, and it looked like there was not a defense around him. It looked like it was pregame.
And he shouldn't even be out on the field. I was screaming about this on Monday. I've calmed down a little bit since then. But the guy has a broken bone or a broken knee, whatever the hell he's got, ankle, whatever the hell that injury even is. Tight ends, though, I did some research. The last five tight ends that they've faced, Kev, 32 passes caught for 500 yards.
Well, you know what that is right there? That's a fantasy bump.
It really is. And that's the funny thing about the tight end position is, like, because you play fantasy football, Sam Schmitz, he's producing the show today, he plays fantasy football. And it's like, I've gotten no production from any tight end this year. I have Jared Cook. He went off a little bit last week, but like in the first 5-6 weeks of the season, tight ends weren't really doing a whole lot outside of Travis Kelce, George Kittle. Those are the only two names that come to mind, really. I mean, Jared Cook is like hit or miss in that New Orleans offense. But I mean, without Rob Gronkowski, who retired last year, like the tight end position seems to only kill the Green Bay Packers this year. It just gets worse every week. And that's the thing that's been driving me nuts is that this defense continues to be plagued by the same stuff, right? They can't stop the run. They're 23rd or 26th against the run. But then they're also 23rd lowest against the pass as well because they're getting killed on these crossing routes. And it's just they can't figure it out. And I don't know who to put the blame on. I mean, the personnel, Mike Pettine, even LaFleur and the other guys under his staff. Like, I think everybody should take the blame on this one. But I don't know. We were also high on Mike Pettine last year. And the first 5 weeks of the season, I mean, Aaron Rodgers even went out and said, hey, we got ourselves a defense this year. Now, all of a sudden, like, you're ranked on the lower half of the league, and you're one of the worst defenses in the league. So, like, what went wrong?
It's been this weird slide downward, and that's been more than just the defense, too, right? That this season, this 11-game stretch has been a microcosm of the last 5 years of Packers football, which is they used to be really, really good. Then there were parts that were bad, but they were masked by other parts that were good, and then it was starting to fall apart. And that's how this season has been. Off the top, it's like, oh, that offense is going to get it together because the defense is going to carry them.
And then they do.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the defense slides down a little, but it's all right because the offense puts up enough points. You win games, and that smooths things over, and it's fine. Now you've gotten to this L.A. trip and this San Francisco trip, and I don't necessarily buy the fact that it's, well, they flew to the West Coast and the bodies weren't ready.
Right.
I don't know if I buy that, and that's what makes me nervous about New York, because away from the Midwest, that's two straight duds.
Yeah.
I mean, big-time duds.
And the Chargers are not a good football team.
No, man.
Good pass rush. I mean, the Packers right now are just struggling with the Bosa brothers. Whether it be Brian Bulaga out there, whether it be David Bakhtiari even, who is just getting bull rushed, and then they beat him with the speed as well. Like, the Bosa brothers are the real deal. But I kept bringing up with the San Francisco game because they were without one of their best pass rushers in that one. Imagine if D Ford's playing in that game.
Oh, my goodness.
You might not even get the 8 points in that. And it's crazy because me, you, and Bill, we did the Bill Michaels huddle a couple weeks back, and we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and should he be an MVP candidate, and like, what the hell's happened since? One of his worst statistical games of his career. So you said it, man. I feel like I'm watching the same team that I was watching for the past 4 or 5 years under the Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers era right now, because everything has went back to being what it was, everything that was fixed. The culture in the locker room still seems great. You know, Aaron says that he trusts these guys to bounce back and that they do have some leadership. But once again, you can't protect the quarterback. We're seeing Aaron Rodgers hit way too much. The defense has given up the big plays to the tight ends. They can't stop the run. And the special teams is atrocious. All of a sudden, J.K. Scott can't do his job, and he forgot how to punt. I don't know if he just had the yips in that game. But what concerns me most is I think that the Packers still are a really good football team. I think they're a playoff team. But I think they're more of like what we've seen from like a Seattle or, you know, kind of like a mid-tier team the last couple of years in the NFC, where they're not quite at the top. Like, they're not the Rams of the last 2 years. They're not the San Francisco 49ers years back, the Colin Kaepernick-led 49ers, because we saw on Sunday night, like, that Niners team was way more aggressive. They were way more physical. Those hits they were laying were vicious. Like, the helmet-to-helmet shot against Jamal Williams, I hated to see. But, like, they look like they wanted to be out there and that they have a point to prove. And Richard Sherman keeps coming out and saying that. He's like, you guys aren't giving us any respect. You're giving us no respect. We're going to go out there and earn it. So they're playing like they have a chip on their shoulder right now. The Packers should be playing like that, too. But instead, I feel like they started to buy into their own hype a little bit. You know, when they were 8-2, like, buy into their own hype a little bit, and they're listening to everything that everybody's saying on the outside, whereas the 49ers are playing like they have a chip on their shoulder, and they showed it on Sunday night. So I'm concerned that New Orleans is a better football team, San Francisco's a better football team, and Seattle, I don't think they're a better football team, but Russell Wilson scares me, because if you have to face them in the playoffs and he gets the ball in the fourth quarter, you know he's winning it.
So two things about that, and one is because of the way the records fall, Seattle might end up in a better position just because of where they are record-wise versus where the Packers are.
They can still win the division, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's what a great matchup that's going to be when they in the face San Francisco. That's not this week, is it?
No, we got another week for that. You know what? Let me pull up the schedule, actually. I have this all written down.
All right, so while you're doing that, this is the other random observation that I have, that I'm looking at the NFC landscape and thinking about this. There's a ledge coming in a couple weeks. It's not this week against the Giants. It's not Washington. It's not Chicago. It's Minnesota. And here's my breakdown of this. you mentioned it. I think the Saints are probably a one seed and the Niners are a two seed. It could go in some order, right?
Right.
I think the Packers are starting to settle in as either a three seed if they win the division or a six seed if they don't. And if the Vikings are that other team, they are set to be a three seed if they win the division and probably a six seed if they don't. Because I think Seattle is probably going to end up with a better record. This is going back to the Seattle thing.
Yeah.
You realize what that means. Packers 3, Vikings 6, or Vikings 3, Packers 6. You realize the ledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could play the Vikings twice in a three-game stretch. Once in week 16 in Minnesota, and if that doesn't go well, then again 2 weeks later, also in Minnesota.
Right.
That could be really bad.
It could. And so I pulled up the schedule. I had this from yesterday. So the 49ers, obviously right now, the number one seed. They're 10-1. But listen to this. So up next, they travel to take on Baltimore. So they get the 8-2 Ravens, who just continue to blow teams out.
Yeah.
Like, they blew out the Rams. They blew out the Texans. They got the Deshaun Watson. They made Jared Goff look terrible. Then after the Ravens, they travel to New Orleans and they take on the 9-2 Saints.
Oh, my goodness.
So they get the Ravens. They get the Saints. Then they get Atlanta. Atlanta's 3-8, but two of the last 3 weeks, Atlanta's actually showed up since getting Matt Ryan back. So I think that that could actually even be a trap game. That they do get that one at home, though. Then they get the Rams. That's going to be a must-win for the Rams, most likely. They're at 6-5 right now.
Right.
And then they get the Seahawks to close out the year in Seattle.
Woo!
So, like, San Francisco, they're 10-1 right now. They could finish 11-5, realistically. I could see them winning only one game the remainder of the season. Now, the Saints have a pretty favorable schedule. They get Atlanta, they get the 49ers, they get the Colts, they get the Titans, and they get the Panthers. You mentioned Seattle. They get the Vikings, Rams, Panthers, Cardinals, and 49ers. So the Packers, like, when you look at this schedule, it's so favorable right now, even at 8-3, because you get the 2-9 Giants, rookie quarterback, the 2-9 Redskins, rookie quarterback, the 5-6 Bears, Mitch Trubisky, XFL quarterback at best. You get the Vikings. Week 16 is going to be huge, obviously, in Minnesota. But if you win your next 3 weeks, even if you drop that one in Minnesota, you still set yourself up in good position because you get the Lions week 17. No Matthew Stafford, most likely. He's got a broken bone in his back, so you're probably going to be facing like the third or fourth string quarterback at that time at home against Detroit. And like on top of all of that, I just... Like it makes me feel good because you just got to take care of business, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to here.
Week 17 against the Lions will be interesting, and if there was some sort of prop bet in Vegas on an over-under of that game getting flexed, I would take it.
I think that they should put that game like at like 9 a.m. and just get it over with so people could enjoy week 17 of football, because I, even as a Packers fan, do not want to watch that game. I was joking around about sending Matthew Stafford out there and how stupid it would be for Detroit, but then I remembered Green Bay was out of playoff contention and they sent Aaron Rodgers out there week 17 against the Lions last year and he got concussed because he was trying to make Joe Philbin look good and help him get a job or something. Although, shout out to Joe Philbin because he kind of has a job. He's working out with Colin Kaepernick.
Right. He's in the center of something. It's something.
Like, of all the names, though, did that one kind of surprised me. Like, Joe Philbin. I had to, like, double-check it. You know, because Bill was talking about, he's like, yeah, Jay-Z, you're, like, hearing all these names. And I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. Okay. Joe Philbin? The hell's he doing these days? I figured he was working at Home Depot.
I mean, that's, I suppose, after that little stint as the interim, and it was sort of, okay, thanks, bye, and he's, you know, instead of taking a year off, he's going to go help somebody.
Like, and I like Joe. Joe Philbin, I compare him to, like, if you're a girl in, like, high school or in college, and, like, you have that one guy friend, and he wants to be more. Like, that was Joe Philbin. Like, he probably wanted to be the Packers NFL head coach, and Gutekunst is like, hey, you're a really nice guy, and we appreciate everything you've done, but we're just friends here. Like, we're going to hire somebody else at the end of the year.
Yeah, you had to. I mean, that's
the good-looking guy.
Yeah. There's a future here, and I still hold out a ton of hope here for LaFleur. For one thing, they're 8-3, and you can't, based on what you saw the last 2 years, you can't overlook the fact that 8-3 feels really good. If I had said that to you in August, they'd be 8-3 through 11. We'd be like, okay, we're in business here.
Right.
So that's pretty big. But I like the vision. I like the guy. I like the integrity. The last home win that they had, we're walking in after the game is over. They open the doors to the locker room, and he's walking by J.K. Scott and Mason Crosby, and he is thanking them literally like, hey, guys, thanks. Thanks for your efforts. Not in some dumb rah-rah way either. Like,
this
very genuine, legitimate sort of thing. And J.K. and Mason look up and sort of nod. Like, yeah, thanks, coach. It's all good. But that's – I know those are small gestures, and it's probably, you know, the fact that it happened with us walking in the room, who knows. But I like that sort of thing, and I think that's the cohesiveness. That's the part that comes together. I think the talent part, as you've mentioned, is still you still got some stuff to work on, right? Your defense over the middle. There's some parts of this team that need some help.
Yeah.
But I like the group as they play.
No, I really do too, and I like the atmosphere. I like the culture in the locker room. I completely agree with that. I just hope to never see Kyle Shanahan ever again because. I mean, the loss on Sunday night, that's the most points that the Packers have given up in a loss since the 2017 NFC Championship game to the Atlanta Falcons.
And
guess who was calling the plays as they gave up 44 points, 44-21?
A younger Matt LaFleur.
Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, that's right. So LaFleur was a quarterback's coach.
Yeah, LaFleur was there. But so the most points they've allowed in a loss since the 44-21 NFC Championship game on January 22nd, 2017. So that's the second time that Kyle Shanahan has put up that kind of number against this Green Bay defense. Also, the fewest points that the Packers have scored this season. So kind of just an atrocious effort. I hope to move on. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm glad to have you in. Chris Middleton back tonight against the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, man.
I don't think I've talked to you since the Brewers made a couple moves as well, so we've even got some baseball in there. We can talk with everybody out there. 414-799-1250. Tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. And Chuck and Bart will be back on Monday. So you get the holiday off as well. I'll be in tomorrow here on Thanksgiving. Shortened show, 8 to 10.
Then, okay, so you at least get half. You know, you don't have to do the full 4 hours.
Well, then I'm in for the Bill Michaels show from 10 to 2. We're going live and local all day long.
6 hours straight?
6 hours straight.
Tell me they've got like three other people in here with you.
Nope, just me. So I'm going to talk a lot of Packers. I'm going to talk some Bucks, and we may even get into the Badgers. The basketball team last night, they lost 58-50 to New Mexico, and it makes me sick. It makes me sick that they continued to just... I'll get into that later. I don't like fire this guy, fire that guy. Even with Dom Capers, like I always hated the fire Dom Capers guys because I just like... It's like, look at the personnel, too. But in college athletics, sometimes I think it is time for some guys to go because it all comes down to recruiting, and I just don't think the Badgers are doing a hell of a job recruiting right now.
Like, and
stay away from Minnesota.
Well, yeah, and there's... I mean, we'll get into it, obviously, a little bit later, but there's a system issue. You just watched New Mexico run up tempo against you. New Mexico!
Right.
We're not talking about, you know, a top five program in the country that can run up tempo because they've got great athletes. You got a collection of dudes in the desert who just came up to New York and ran up tempo on you and beat you, and you hit two threes.
I don't even know who New Mexico's coach is. And I watch so much college hoops. So much college sports, I couldn't tell you who New Mexico's head coach is. That's how bad that is.
It's not Reggie Theus. He was the old New Mexico State head coach.
No, but I love Reggie Theus. He used to be on this show growing up called Hang Time, and he played the coach. He was the man. Former bowl great as well. And then he was replaced by Dick Butkus, which I always found weird.
That's a weird mix.
As a basketball coach, yeah. So not Reggie Theus. I don't know. We'll do some research on that, though, on who New Mexico's coach is. I'm sure I'll have 50 tweets out of here soon.
All right, let me get this thing out to break here. Chuck and Winkler, back to talk all kinds of local sports here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
He's always seeing areas where he can improve and get better, and it's an element or a part of our DNA. We want all our players and organizationally, we want to just keep getting better. And he sets a tone for us organizationally, and he's big time.
I feel like I should have a lighter out right now.
I know, right?
It's so dramatic.
Well, the problem with these, I love all these. We got some new rejoin music in case you're just figuring that out, everybody out there.
Yeah.
And I always want to come back from break with, like, just singing, though. You know?
What do you want to sing?
Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, this?
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I need, like, the drum. If there's a... All right, we're
oh,
not no,
I get you.
That.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
where I would come in, though, with the doom, doom, like, a little bit more. Like, that right there, I'm like, all right, I love this song, but, yeah, it's 6:30 in the morning, and I'm just kind of, like, cruising into the day a little bit, right?
It's a little dramatic for 6:30, yeah, for
no
sure.
No doubt, man.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. He is Ryan Horvath. I'm Kevin Holden. I'm the dude stepping in for the day. And then... tonight, we all get to take in the return of Chris Middleton, who, by the way, beat his timetable by, it was at least a week, right? They were saying 3 to 4 weeks for him.
Yeah, they said 3 to 4 weeks, and he will make his return tonight. Limited minutes is what Coach Budenholzer says. I don't know with Bud if I quite believe that. I mean, you would expect this to be a blowout win. The Bucks haven't covered a spread in 4 nights, not that I know that or anything. But I expect tonight to be the night where they finally win by at least 20 points. Like, this Hawks team is struggling right now.
Man.
They got some young talent. I do enjoy watching Trae Young. He's a little bit better than I thought he would be this early. Got a little Steph Curry in him. But, yeah, this Hawks team is brutal. I expect Bud to blow him out. But if it is close, if it's in, like, I don't know, a 10, 13-point range, I could see Middleton playing 30 minutes tonight, can't you?
Yeah.
I know.
Look, here's the thing. To say 3 to 4 weeks and then he beats the timetable and then to say, yeah, there's a minutes limit, but we're not going to, like, say what the number is, I think they're confident enough to let him go out there. The biggest question for me really isn't even tonight. I feel like Middleton's going to be fine tonight. It's the Friday-Saturday back-to-back.
There's no way he's playing in both of those games, right?
Right. Right.
And so I was kind of talking about this on the pregame show, and you guys can give us a call, 414-799-1250. Think the Bucks are risking bringing Chris Middleton back a little bit too early. I don't know that I bring him back tonight against Atlanta because the Hawks are 4-13. They're brutal. And I kind of like seeing what I got with the younger guys the first 41 games of the season. I want to concentrate on what I got in Sterling Brown, on what I got in Dante DiVincenzo, and even DJ Wilson. Because let's say you're not even, they're not in your future plans, right? Even in this season as you make a championship run, I want them to get some run because come time at the deadline, I may want to add another score, even if it's just another addition like you did last year with Nico Mirotić, who forgot how to shoot the ball, unfortunately, in the Eastern Conference Finals. But if you get a mid-tier 14 to 15 point per game score, you're probably going to have to part ways with a Sterling, you know, maybe a DJ. I do not want to give up Dante. I think Dante just continues to get better. But that's why I want to see some of these younger guys get some runs. And this is the timetable to get these guys their playing time because you get the Hawks tonight, they're brutal, they're 4-13. Then you get the Cavs on Friday night, they're awful. And then you get the Hornets on Saturday night, they're brutal. Then you get the Knicks on Monday. You get the Pistons next Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
I might save Chris Middleton for next Friday night, December 6th, against the Clippers at home. That's a 7:30 p.m. tip-off, primetime matchup. That's when I wanted to see Chris Middleton come back. Now, I get it. Like, he wants to come back. He wants to do his job. He wants to play basketball. But if I'm thinking big picture, like, why bring him back against the Hawks?
Well, there's two parts, right? You feel like those games are winnable without Middleton. But the other half is, as you were saying, the Dantes of the world, these guys who have done so well in Middleton's absence,
right,
are going to have their minutes compromised. I mean, you there aren't enough to go around. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have their minutes cut with Middleton back. You might be able, if you have 3 or 4 or 5 more games to showcase those guys, I know the trade deadline's a ways off, but if they look this good for 3 or 4 or 5 more games, you might improve your return.
Right.
You might improve the Mirotić-type player that you get in a few months. So I can understand it. I'm not the most patient guy in the world when it comes to this sort of thing, so it's going to be nice for me to see him tonight, but I think I could have lived if he had, you know, waited
another
week.
Set out a couple more nights? Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with him returning tonight. I'd like to see him play limited minutes, I guess, against Atlanta and, you know, against some of these other teams. Detroit, I just mentioned, also awful. 414-799-1250, your guys' thoughts and what you want to see from this rotation with the return of Chris Middleton, because you know, I brought up Sterling, especially. He had a game where he had 9 points, no rebounds, no assists. And since then, he's even making contributions on the defensive side of the ball, rebounding a little bit. I like Sterling, but I'm really high on Dante. I'm a big fan of Dante. And I had people texting and tweeting in at 105.7 FM The Fan, asking if maybe the Bucks should consider keeping Dante in the starting lineup. And maybe bringing Wesley Matthews off the bench, you know, starting Dante with Chris Middleton. I don't really think it matters who you start in the league anymore. It just comes down to who's on the court in the fourth quarter. And I want to see more Dante. I want to see more Sterling in the fourth quarter more than I want to see a guy like Kyle Korver.
You love you some Kyle Korver, but
I like Kyle Korver for what he is, you know. But in the playoffs, like in a deep stretch or down the stretch, I should say, as you're trying to make a championship run, like. Yeah. I don't need to see too much of Kyle Korver in the fourth quarter unless it's a free throw shooting situation. You're drawing up a play in like the last 15 seconds and you want to use him as a decoy. But who's he going to guard in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia? Who's he going to guard against Toronto, like some of these top teams? Right. I don't mind seeing Kyle Korver against the Hawks, but in a championship series or in the Eastern Conference Finals, I just don't think we'll see a lot of them. But I do want to see athletes like DJ and Dante who could guard, who could defend, and who could move around a little bit. Because, like, Ersan, I like him. He's good for a charge. He'll knock down a shot that you don't want him to take every once in a while. But he's just slow and unathletic.
Yeah. And he's been around for 116 years,
and
too.
And you get killed on the pick and roll, and teams just know how to go after you. So if you got a guy like DJ, Dante, Sterling that can move around a little bit, I don't know, I'm just high on these young players, and I want to see what they could contribute. Because I mean, we know the Bucks are going to be the number one seed come playoff time. We know they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But do they have the pieces to get past that hump, to get past the Philadelphia, Boston? We had Rick Bucher on from Radio.com Sports. He's really high on Toronto, even without Kawhi. He just thinks because of the playoff experience.
Yeah.
You know, that he says that that's the second team in the East. I think it's Boston.
Yeah.
I do.
Because, really, you know what Boston is, essentially, is this group that hit this blip at the end of last year, and you could tell that this blip splintered who they were.
Yeah.
But that talent was still there. So once you get that part of it out, once you get that sort of locker room issue out, then they go back to being a very talented group. They're an underrated group.
And see, that was the thing, is that Rick wasn't too high on Kemba Walker. He thought maybe the Celtics overpaid, and that's why Michael Jordan didn't want to give him that max contract in Charlotte. I disagree with that. I really like Kemba Walker. He could take a game over. I mean, we go back to his NCAA tournament games. He individually won UConn a national championship.
Yes, he did.
But like, what I like about this Celtics team this year is that, and I keep saying this, and I sound like a broken record, but it allows Brad Stevens to go back to doing what Brad Stevens does best, and that's coaching. And that's teaching. Whereas last year, with a guy like Kyrie Irving in that locker room and veterans like Al Horford, who I do think is a good teammate, but I don't think he was able to actually teach these younger guys on the squad, like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. So I feel like now, when you get rid of a guy like Kyrie Irving, who his teammates already hate him with the Nets, like he's not a locker room leader, I feel like it allows Brad Stevens to go back to what he's best at doing, teaching, actually coaching the game, rather than just being a glorified, high-paid babysitter.
Yeah, and you got to have that if you're going to have long-term playoff success. It's got to be more than – you got to be able to get more than a couple of games out of guys, because that's – the thing about the NBA season is it's two marathons. It's not just one. The marathon of the regular season is one thing, and I like what Bart has done, by the way, in his absence, talking about him, what he's done with this whole – doesn't care about the regular season sort of thing. I mean, it matters, but it only matters in the sense that you get a high seed out of it. They're going to be there.
Did you hear me and Bart's plan for the regular season and what we would do?
No.
We want to lose on purpose and finish with maybe like 44 to 45 wins, get the 7 or the 8 seed.
Just destroy everything in sight.
Just get rid of Philadelphia or Boston or whoever the top team is right away off the bat, and then just kind of cruise into the finals. Because it doesn't matter.
Do you remember Shaq and Kobe Lakers would do this? They'd play around for 4 or 5 months?
I remember they played around for 3 games against the Sacramento Kings and trailed 3-0 in that series and then turned it on.
Right? I mean, that's how good they were. They were literally like, eh. We'll get there some point. It's fine.
Man, like if you look, that's what LeBron James has done for the last 6 years, outside of last year when he was on a brutal team and just gave up halfway through the season. But that's what LeBron James does. He doesn't care about the regular season. That's why he hasn't played defense in 3 years.
Right.
The Warriors, they figured that out the hard way. They went out, they busted their ass for 82 games. They broke the Bulls 72-10 mark from 95-96. They won 73, but then what happened in the finals? They were burned out. Draymond kicked a guy in the junk and got suspended. Then the next thing you know, they get upset as the Cavs came back from down 3-1. So I think that, like, it's a long season. Like, I love what Giannis is doing, and he's a throwback. He wants to go out there all 82 games. He wants to put up 30 and go hard all 82 games. But that's just not really the way of the league right now. I'm more worried about rest and recovery and you being healthy come playoff time, playing basketball in June in the NBA Finals, than winning these meaningless regular season games. And, I mean, I also play devil's advocate, and I'm like, as a fan, if I have tickets to go to the Atlanta Hawks game tonight, I want to see Giannis and Chris Middleton out on that floor. But at the same point, like, I want to raise the championship banner more than I want to see my favorite player play.
The Clippers are doing this with Kawhi. And
it's almost like annoying with Kawhi, though.
There's a lot of it, right? It's just like, who is it that's somebody sitting out an entire year? It's a Milwaukee prep basketball star who's literally just not playing basketball this year.
Yeah, I saw that. What is that all about?
I don't know the background of the story, but the first response on Twitter was hashtag load management.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so this is what we're going to do, huh?
We're going to start doing it in eighth grade. Like, he's got baseball season to think of. We'll wait until freshman year to get him back there.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely possible that's like a personal... that it's actually a situation. I don't know, but I just, to me, it's hilarious because it's like, no, like if I call out sick Monday from work after the Packers play the Giants, hashtag load management.
Yep,
that's it. Everything is going to be load management right now.
Freeman's on load management. Bart's on load management right now for an entire week. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
That's right. And where are they? Well, I know exactly where Chuck is. I saw his picture in Arizona.
So I didn't know Chuck was going to Arizona.
Me either.
And I work with the guy. I'm the producer of the show, and I texted him yesterday, and I never heard back. And usually, with what I texted him, I figured I would have heard back 5 minutes later. Didn't hear from him, and then I go on Twitter and I see his girlfriend Shannon. She's posting pictures. They're in Arizona, and I'm like, oh, there we go. No frames for a couple days. I know where Bart is. He's being a dad.
He's being a dad.
No, that's Arizona for Bart.
No,
for a long time.
For a long time.
He's got diapers to pay for.
Yeah, that's load management hashtag.
Literally.
All right, load management for us for the next few minutes. We'll return shortly. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We're just playing together. We're having fun, and we're guarding. And I think our defense is really good lately. Make shot, no make shots. It doesn't really matter. As long as you defend, you're going to be fine.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7. Oh, sorry. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It has that, you know.
It does.
You're matching that music.
The classics. Pink Floyd, album released 1974. See, here's one where I almost came in with a hello. Is there anybody in there?
Can I just say I'm impressed by the depth of your knowledge of that, because there are a lot
is
of people.
There anyone?
It's great. There are a lot of people who would just be like, "What is this?"
Right.
You know.
No, I was a big Pink Floyd fan growing up. I'm into the classics, man. Aerosmith, Pink Floyd. I'm a big Stones fan. But then it's crazy because then I was also into like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre,
yeah.
N.W.A. I listened to it all. I'm really big into rap music, but I love classic music. And then when I moved to Iowa, so I was the sports director at KSIB, right?
Right.
But that's your daytime job. At night, you voice track country music. So when I moved to Iowa, like, you get out of college, man, and all you want to do is you just want to get a job right out of the chute. And I was lucky enough to get that. And I was lucky enough where, you know, behind the scenes, I was making a lot of money out of college. I was making more money than I make now in my first opening job right out of the chute as sports director in a small town in Iowa, but I was a one-man band pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I did sports in the morning. I did a two-hour show called The Midday Report with Ryan Horvath, and then at night, I would voice track country music. So when I got the job, the first two things they say to me, what do you know about country music, and what do you know about wrestling? And I said, country music, I know absolutely nothing. Wrestling, I know Stone Cold, I know The Undertaker, I know the Stone Cold Stunner, the Tombstone Piledriver. And they said, no, real wrestling.
Yeah, like Greco-Roman,
right.
Yeah.
Like Iowa and Iowa State are ranked like in the top 10 every single year. So I knew absolutely nothing. I learned on the job, but before you know it, I'm like, he gets him down in the Saturday Night Ride, leg lock. And I got pretty good at it. But the country music thing is where I really took off, you know, because then I started getting into it. And I'd be like, all right, that was Blake Shelton with Sangria. Garth Brooks, what did he do last Thanksgiving? I'll tell you about that right after Shania Twain, Still the One, here on KSIB.
All right, so now I'm going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
That so when you went out in public after you had done this for a little while and people knew you, everybody wanted to talk about country music with you.
No, thank God they just wanted to talk about sports gambling.
Oh, okay, good. Because my first job out of school was a continuation of a job I had in school, which was a radio job.
Mm-hmm.
And the station had become a country radio station toward the end of my college time. So I feel your pain on this one.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I came from a little bit of a different era. I think Shania Twain was just starting to happen. So it was a bad era for country music. We're talking like Smokin' Armadillos kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I understand that I grew up in the South, but I don't know anything about country music. And it was literally like 20 seconds before, research. Okay, that was the Smokin' Armadillos, yep. And here's something I just learned about them, and here's the next song, right? But what was happening was, if you feel good about your job because you could sell it well enough that in public somebody would go, yeah, you're the country DJ from the, you know,
that's
whatever.
Kip Brooks.
Right.
You know, because I'd be like Ryan Horvath from like, you know, 6 a.m. to like, you know, 5 p.m., but then at night, I'd be like, you know, Randy Travis or something like that.
Oh, you had a different name?
No, I just went by Ryan Horvath. But my boss or my program director was like, maybe you should, you know, overnights, you should change your name and go by a different persona. And I was like, well, that just sounds like the stupidest thing ever. But almost as stupid as your sports director also being your country music coach.
Just saying. So if you went by an alternate name on the air, do you have one that you would go to as a check down?
Donald Stratford.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds rich.
My middle name and the street that I grew up on.
Oh, yes. The what was your high school recruit is your favorite candy bar and the street your high school was on?
Yeah, there's so many different ones. But yeah, that was the one that I grew up with. It was always your filmmaking name was your middle name and then what street you grew up on. So mine was always Donald Stratford. And a funny thing, growing up, I hated my middle name. And I've told this story before. And I'm sorry, we will get to the Bucks. 414-799-1250. But growing up, I hated my middle name because it was Donald. And everybody growing up in grade school, oh, what's up, Donald Duck? You know, give me the Donald Duck voice. And I went up to my parents and I was like, why the hell is my middle name Donald? I'm getting crushed in middle school for this. And they said, well, it's your grandpa's middle name, it's your dad's middle name, so it's just kind of like a tradition that the middle name continues to be Donald. My grandpa had to go back and get, I forgot if he had to get his driver's test or get glasses or something like that. He never even had his birth certificate because he was born in like 1918 or something like that. He goes back, he gets his birth certificate, he sees on the birth certificate that his name was actually Robert David Horvat. So me and my dad had to go by this middle name of Donald for no absolute reason. It wasn't even
come from him.
But my grandpa for his whole life would put, you know, Robert Donald Horvat. It was never his middle name. It was always David. I just find that crazy, like how times have changed.
Sammy, what would be your name if you had an alternate name on here?
So it's your, what, street you grew up on and then what?
I go middle name is your first name and then street you grew up on is your last name.
So mine would be Robert Stoney.
Robert Stoney?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so perfect. I feel like I just watched you in a video last night. Kidding. 414-799-1250. Let's get back to the phone calls.
Yeah,
Let's
sorry.
Talk some Bucks basketball. Go to the north side. Talk with Ram. Ram, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Ryan?
Not too much, man. How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
How you doing your thing, man? Hey, we got to put those heel switches in the studio.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Hey, what do you got going on for Thanksgiving?
When I get off the phone, what that means? Yeah, you got to put them heel switches, man, so you can operate from your cell phone.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, because your Twitter and social media people out here that's listening, we're all in 100% agreement.
Well, thank you. My boss's email is, no, I'm kidding. But his Twitter handle door. Is 105.7FM program guy. You can tweet at him.
Hey, some morning it's hard to listen to Homer and Bart Simpson. Real hard.
I appreciate that, Ram. What's up, man? What do you feel about the Bucks tonight with Chris Middleton coming back?
Man, look, I'm gonna just keep this 100. I played basketball in high school and college, and had an assortment of injuries, and I never heard of no one sitting out this much time for a contusion. This is totally ankle, yeah, knee, definitely. You know, maybe something on your hand, yeah. But a contusion? I'm like, come on. I mean, has players really gotten that soft?
I don't know. I feel like there's something that the Bucks weren't telling us, or maybe that Chris Middleton wasn't telling us with the injury. Like,
that's what I think. And you know I'm not a Middleton guy, and I'm just being 100 with it. I'm thinking the pressure of his contract, and he follows social media, psychologically is bothering him right now. And so now he has to live up to... You know, he's being paid like an elite player.
Right.
And most people feel that he's not. And I just want to see him, if that's what he is, I just want to see him dominate. And I haven't seen him dominate. I mean, he's been with the Bucks for a while. You know, so these games that are coming up, yeah, they're games that they should win. But the Bucks, like you said, and I'm not really a betting person, they're not even covering the spread. Trae Young, them guys going to come out. They're going to come at their neck.
Mm-hmm.
They got some guys on their team that can play.
That's right.
You know, now they learning how to win in the NBA, but it's not going to be a game where you just come out and say, oh, well, we should get this game. Even when they play Cleveland. I mean, they got those guards that they got, and they got Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson on that team. They got guys that can do some damage. So, I mean, if the Bucks come in thinking that it's an easy win, they could end up getting two losses real quick. So, But like I said, back to what you asked, the question is, I have never seen him dominate, take over game. And I was watching the Clipper game with you last night, and Middleton can't hold nobody on that team. That top eight, those top eight, if Giannis had to check somebody, then, you know, they're getting help. Paul George will eat him up, Lou Williams will eat him up. And I just don't see the effort on defense with him. He's 6'8", man. I mean, and he's long. And, you know, okay, come on, man. You know, you're getting that $35 million. Let's see you play like a $35 million player, you know?
Yeah, I think
that's
fair.
How do you feel about that?
No, I appreciate the phone call, Ram. Have a good Thanksgiving, buddy.
All right, bud.
414-799-1250. You could also tweet at the show at 105.7 FM, The Fan. I think what the Chris Middleton thing is, you will see some flashes, right? He'll have a 40-point game. He'll have a 30-point game. He'll have a 5-of-6 from 3 game. The problem is just the consistency. He just doesn't do it on a consistent level. The contract doesn't really bother me when you look at the fact that, like, Timofey Mozgov isn't even in the league and he's making $9 million. Like, everybody's getting paid. Chris Middleton, I think, is getting paid his worth. But I do agree with Ram where I just want it to be, I guess, on a more consistent basis. And I want to see him defend a little bit better. He makes a great point about the Clippers. Like, in the Eastern Conference, let's be honest, it stinks. Like, there's Boston's okay, Toronto's okay, but they lost Kawhi Leonard. There's really no dominant teams. But when you look out west and when you look at the main goal for the Bucks, it's championship or bust this season. Because in the Eastern Conference, Kevin Durant returns next year. You have him and Kyrie. There's going to be more competition in the East. But the West is just going to continue to get better. Like, you have sleeper teams like the Nuggets, but then you have the elite teams, like he mentioned last night, the Clippers. And there's three guys that in the fourth quarter can take over a game and get buckets, whereas the Bucks, I only see one, and that's Giannis. And the blueprint on how to stop him is kind of out there, but not really, because now he has that pull-up three, which is awesome.
That's huge.
But he still can't hit free throws. What's the problem? Because when he goes to the rack, the way he plays at the game, if you just send him to the charity stripe, he's going to struggle. But that's the one thing that scares me about the Bucks facing a Western Conference team is a guy like Lou Williams, even, off the bench, sixth man of the year. He could be sixth man of the year every single year. He could get you 20 points. You know, Paul George could get you 30 points. Kawhi Leonard, we saw what he could do to you, especially in a playoff series. You look at the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. So I do want to see more consistency, I guess, from Chris Middleton is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and you'd like to see them not have to depend on Giannis and a bunch of three-pointers. Right? Because that's how they do it right now. It's not,
they're not hitting the three is the problem.
Right. If you don't have those players who can take it over that are not Giannis, then you make up for it with this volume threes thing, right? And that's how they do it. And that's great for the majority of games. But you saw what happened when Giannis was taken out of the game against the Raptors when he airballed the free throw in that Eastern Conference final series, and then it just sort of collapsed around him. And that's when you need that guy, right?
Well, yeah, and like, it's, I look at this team on paper, and I brought up that Sacramento Kings team that took the Lakers to a 3-0 lead. Like, that was a good team, but the Lakers had Kobe Bryant and Shaq down the stretch, and that's why they won four straight. Like, I look at the Chicago Bulls, like the 2010 Bulls era that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They won 60 games under Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. And then they ran into LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, three superstars that could take the game over. And all they had was Derrick Rose, who granted was the MVP. But what did the Heat do? They put 6'8 LeBron James on Derrick Rose, and they shut him down.
Yep.
Teams are going to defend Giannis a little bit differently in the playoffs. They're going to double-team him. Guys are going to have to step up. That's the only thing that scares me about this Bucks team is they're deep. They're really deep. And they got a bunch of really nice players. But I just hope that they're not one superstar, I guess, away from being able to compete with some of these Western Conference teams, because I think they need another closer. I want to see Chris Middleton be that guy. But outside of that first-round playoff loss to Boston a couple years back, like, that was the closest I think we've seen Chris Middleton look to being a superstar. He's a good 1B. He's an all-star.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, a 20-point-per-game guy just really can't take a game over. Like, the Cavs don't win that title without Kyrie Irving taking the game over, even with the best player on the planet in LeBron James and another 20-point-per-game score in Kevin Love. You need 2 to 3 guys. Do you think that the Bucks have enough?
I right at this moment, your champion is the Raptors, and they're the blueprint to me for how you do this as a team. And I don't think the Bucks have that team. I think they've got the collection of players, but I don't think they have that team, right? When they played... When the Raptors played in the NBA Finals and you saw how the pieces fit together, you saw how Pascal Siakam and these guys fit together, the Bucks didn't have that. Giannis airballed free throw or no, they didn't have that.
And you know what? There are some good examples, because the Raptors team last year was a really good example, because all you had was a superstar in Kawhi, and then you had a couple nice pieces. I mean, Siakam is becoming a superstar right now, but last year the jury was still out on him and he was a younger player.
Right.
But like, that is a good point, because if you go back to that Dallas Mavericks team that beat the Miami Heat when LeBron James and Dwayne Wade were their first year together, they had one superstar, and it was Dirk.
Right.
They had a point guard, a veteran point guard, in Jason Kidd. Like, J.J. Barea had a huge NBA Finals appearance. You had a rim protector in Tyson Chandler. But you really only had one superstar, and you had a lot of depth. So I guess that it can be done. It's just in today's NBA, like, when I see a Lakers team that features Anthony Davis and LeBron, and I watched that Clippers game last night, and they've just blow out, you know, they're opposing teams, and they're blowing people out, and they got Kawhi and Paul George on the court, and then you're like, oh, man, Lou Williams is on this team still. That's what scares me a little bit, I guess.
It's going to be the Bucks in L.A. when you get to June.
Think so. Yeah, that's a safe assumption, right? Which LA team?
Right. You know the arena. You just don't know the opponent at this point. So, but go ahead and book your tickets for Bucks versus LA team TBD.
Yeah, I've already put in my request to cover that series if it's in LA. If they play in Utah, like if the Jazz sneak their way into the finals, I'm good on that. I don't know.
Let somebody else
cover
that.
I'm only going to LA.
Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.